Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Shark Cast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. I am one half of the podcast, Sharks Fanatic Newman, and I am joined, as I am every week in footy season, by my fellow Sharks Fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, all-around good bloke, Sam Shinazzy. But before we get there, fifth year of Shark Cast, Samuel, how do you feel?
Fifth year, I feel like a veteran. I'm excited, though, for the year ahead. Who knows what's going to happen after the off-season we've had. And I'm happy to be here doing this with you, talking all things Cronulla Sharks. Newman, we are on Apple, iTunes, we're on Wooshka, we're on Spotify. How cool is that?
Yeah, man, Spotify. Everybody's on Spotify. We don't get paid any money. None of the artists get paid any money.
We get paid something.
Do we?
Like a fraction of what we should be earning.
Like one...
Yeah.
One tenth of a cent.
Of a millionth cent, yeah. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email. We've got a few emails this week to get through later on.
Sharkcastpod@gmail.com.
That's the one. Did you know Gmail was down today?
I did, because my whole business runs off Gmail.
The old Google Docs at Fox Sports. Not so good.
Wow. And if you could rank us, rate us, review us on Apple, on Wooshka, whatever, that would be greatly appreciated. We are nothing without you, and we are just psyched to be here, Sam.
We last spoke when you were in LAX, you were in Los Angeles very briefly. How was that?
It was dull.
Dirty old airport.
It's a dirty old airport, and I was there for 6.5 hours or whatever, and you could probably tell that I was in a lounge in the corner trying to keep my voice down. You know, I got home safe, and that's the main thing. I missed most of the trials. And I must point out that we made promises that Barry Russell was going to be on the next podcast, and he subsequently told us that now he's resigned, he won't be talking to anybody.
We're going to stop promising to make promises, I think.
Mm.
But yeah, you're right. It wasn't our fault. Baz, he's not going to do it, and that's his prerogative.
I wouldn't do it if I was him.
Well, I mean, he's leaving, so he doesn't really owe us an explanation in my...
I did have a good chat to him last night at the Newtown launch.
Good fella.
He was there. He is a good fella. You can just, by talking to him, you can just gauge that he's honest and has a great deal of integrity, but his legacy will be...
88 Rothmans medal winner?
Yeah. As a club CEO, I don't think there'll be too many rugby league clubs queuing up for his signature. Would you surmise?
No, but he might get a gig at the NRL again.
I think he'll definitely get a gig at the NRL.
Yeah, and good luck to him.
But he's still a very passionate Shark supporter, and he's very keen for the Sharks to win on the weekend.
Yeah, people lost sight of that. People think that he wanted us to move to Perth or some rubbish, but he's Shark through and through. He's probably more Shark than you and I put together. It's just that he made a decision which changed a lot of things, and he's standing by that decision. We're living with the decision. Who knows what's next for Barry? It's probably none of our business anymore.
No, and it has, for better or worse, changed the face of the club. We now have a new coach.
New halfback.
New halfback.
Or 5'8", I should say.
Yeah, we're going to have to shed a player who we announced as a signing last week. Looks like he's not going to be a signing anymore. And it's a new era, another new era at the Sharks, and the story just goes on and on.
Can't get worse, can it?
Yeah, it can. We can maybe talk about some of those nightmare scenarios later on.
I don't want to. I really don't want to.
The footy is back. We are but mere hours away from kickoff, round one against Newcastle.
Are you in any tipping competitions or fantasy competitions?
No fantasy competitions. No. I did get invited to join a Supercoach league, and yeah. I dabbled in Supercoach for a few years, but then got jack of it. But my brother's new girlfriend, who's a friend of this podcast, she said, "Have you thought about, why don't we do a Supercoach league for a bit of fun?" And it turns out that like 2 years ago, she won the whole thing.
She did.
Yeah.
I know this.
So I shan't be going in Supercoach, let alone on my own, but with someone who's that good.
Well, this is about the time, you know, 24 hours out from the comp when I start joining all these tipping comps and fantasy comps and you know, pub competitions. And I just, I surf the internet joining all these things, which I lose interest in after about 2 weeks.
Well, we all joined the Royal Motor Yacht Club one last year because they're such great supporters. But
yeah, how did we go in that?
Well, when I started, you know, and got 2 out of 8 for the first 4 weeks, I stopped putting my tips in, so I don't know. I've got a little family one, and that's it.
I was getting to the point where I was emailing our man Liam there on the Friday after the Thursday, going, "Oh, look, I really did tip the Dragons last night." So,
yeah.
Oh boy, another year, Newman. I can't wait to get into it. It's going to be fascinating. I'm really excited by Sean Johnson. We're going to get into that. Let's have a little break right now. Stick around for more Sharkcast Radio. Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
Let's have a look. He's got the ball. He's got the leg out. The leg's out. The Sharks will win. The leg is out. The Sharks will win.
The Sharks have just realised, looking at the big screen, there's a foot gone out. The crowd then resume where they were a matter of 10 seconds ago.
Welcome back to the show. Always great to have our magnificent sponsors back on board, Dyson Logistics and the Royal Motor Yacht Club, for another year. And Sam, as we mentioned earlier on, we are mere hours away from kickoff in season 2019 as we make a tilt for the title. And for the first time in many years, there are a lot of unknowns as to how the team will go. And probably one of the most eagerly anticipated team sheets for quite a while.
Yeah, I think the hits on all the websites would have been pretty good, Newman. Let's go through it right now, okay? We got Matty Mullen at fullback. Wingers are Sasaya Fecky and Sione Katoa. Centers are Josh Dugan, and making his club debut is Joshy Morris. Halves, pretty exciting here. Sean Johnson makes club debut with Chad Townsend. Pretty familiar looking front row. Andy Fifita, Jaden Brayley, Matty Pryor. Making his NRL debut, we're very excited. Britton Nicora, our friend Kirk Capewell, and Paul Gallen is the lock. Immediate bench. I like it, Newman. We're going to get into it soon.
Yep.
I really like it. Young Blake Brayley making his NRL debut. Jason Books-Bacuya, Aaron Woods, Jack the Beast Williams. Extended bench, no slouches here. Scott Sorensen, Kyle Flanagan, Bronson Cherry, and Braden Ueli. Let's start with Matty Moylan at fullback, Newman. What are you... I'm pretty excited by his trial form there.
Yeah, look, I think he will probably tell you that he's a better fullback than he is a six, just because he doesn't have to do the hard work in defence, and he can just chime into the line when he likes, play either side of the ruck. I think it suits him. Obviously, Valentine Holmes last year had a mortgage on the number one position, probably being a better specialist fullback. Moylan's got sort of more of that auxiliary capacity in that he can play six, he can play one, he can probably play 13, he can probably play in the centres where Val couldn't do that. So we get to see what Moylan's capable of at one. I think the big talking points for the team selection are no Bronson Cherry, Josh Dugan has kept him out, and to me that's a sensible choice. Dugan's still an Australian representative level centre. And you pick him based on his experience and on his form. Bronson Cherry is a boom rookie with a massive future in front of him, but I don't pick him in front of Dugan.
Yeah, I don't think it was going to happen, Newman, to the sensible John Morris. If the only way he was going to play was on the wing, and
he's
that
not a
would
winger.
No, that would be a mistake. That would be Stewie Mills.
Neither
all over
is Josh
again.
Dugan.
No, at least he has the experience to probably pull it off, though.
I mean, he could play there as a stopgap, but you wouldn't want to be picking him first door. I don't think either of them are wingers.
When you look at it this way, Newman, you've got, I would imagine, the oldest centre pairing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Dugan is injury prone. Morris has had some injuries. Bronson will get his shot. We know he's going to make the most of it. He's going to bide his time. It is interesting that Flanagan and Bronson have not been picked in New South Wales Cup.
Well, they're not been named. Does that mean they can't
haven't been named? Well, I don't think it does. If the rules are the same as the NRL, but I guess they're not because it's pretty low.
I would like to see Bronson Cherry play maybe 3 games of New South Wales Cup and dominate and really knock the door down and say, I'm ready to play NRL and maybe force his way into the squad. But I do know that there was a lot of concern around the hype around him from that first trial. And I mean, let's talk about it. The hype was ridiculous.
And he lived up to it. He was good.
But they were talking about him as if he was Dally Messenger incarnate when he scored a length of the field try against Manly when they weren't interested. You know, the hype was over the top. They're trying to keep a level head on the kid, and he will get his go.
Yeah.
I think it's a sensible choice to pick the team the way it is. But you can make an argument that Sosia Fekke and Sione Katoa isn't the strongest wing combination in the NRL. And if you're going to pick your top 17, you could probably find a space for Bronson Cherry, Josh Dugan, and Josh Morris in the one back line.
Not strongest in the NRL, possibly strongest at the moment for us, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the sensible decision. Johnny Morris knows what he's doing there.
Fekke and Sione Katoa worry me under the high ball.
Bombs away. They both did pretty good in the trials that I saw. Katoa attacked the ball and he caught it. So benefit of the doubt there for a new year. Fekke did come back improved under the high ball last year after his demise. So let's see how they go. But they'll both be targeted, that's for sure.
Fecky's a confidence player. If he's playing confident, he catches everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Shawnee Johnson makes his debut. That's real exciting.
That's really exciting. And I hope he gets to sort of play the game where he can pick his time to get involved. He's not feeling like he has to score off every set of six. You know, and we've got the kind of half combination in Chad Townsend, who I think is the perfect foil for a Sean Johnson type half, who can, you know, steer the team around, kick it to the corner, and then as the other team starts to tire, then Sean Johnson and Matt Moylan can be either side of the ruck. That's going to create some headaches for tired defences, Sam. That's really exciting.
They look so slick in the second trial, first half, and it's only a trial. We've been through that, but based on what we saw, they look ready to go. And it wasn't crazy through the legs Warriors style attack. It was shark like from the past few years, but just with a bit more slickness added, particularly with the 7-6-1. Like, it looked like a proper spine movement, as they call it in the game. I'm excited, and you're right, he doesn't have to score off every play. And we shouldn't expect that. I tweeted out a thing on our Twitter, which a lot of people would have seen, which is was trending this week, and it was 7 minutes of Sean Johnson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was brilliant to watch. Awesome. That was beautiful.
A lot of the tries I've forgotten about.
And a lot of those were in the seven on the nines format.
Okay.
But, you know, he can still... He's a hell of a player. He's a hell of an attacking player. And
his attitude looks so good this year.
Yeah, he's very excited to be here.
He's appreciated too, I think.
All the media that he's done. And I think that he was the hope of the side for the Warriors for a lot of years, they were like, he's our star player. Hello, Sean Johnson, can you win us the game every week? Where it's not going to feel that way for him at the Sharks. You know, you've got a big, strong character in Paul Gallen. You've got, again, Matty Moylan and, you know, this quality across the park, Josh Dugan, Josh Morris.
His goal kicking was perfect in the trial he played, and he got a few from the side. So that's probably an added bonus given where we came from last year. He's not a perfect goal kicker by any means, but he looked pretty good the other week. Andrew Fifita, story going around about him this week. It was evident watching the trial. He looks so fitter and healthier. His knee looks pretty good. He played 40 minutes in the trial.
Yeah, I mean,
and dominated.
Last year, it was no secret that he had a crook knee. I mean, he was strapped up to buggery. and he was carrying it and sort of, you know, limping around in back play. And, you know, he got some surgery done on it, and hopefully he's ready to run and ready to rumble. And for the word from training is that he leads the extras crew. His attitude to training is, compared to when he first came to the club as like a 20-year-old, is unbelievable. He has taken up a leadership role, and he's always going to be a hothead. He's always going to be unpredictable, but his heart is, he absolutely wants to be an elite player. And like I said, he leads the extras team. So anyone who wants to do extra training, it's Andrew Fifita is the captain of that team.
I think the only thing stopping him from being considered elite is, you know, probably off the field stuff. On the field, he's there.
Well, let me tell you that Shark player off-field sightings, little T-Bone went down to watch the Wiggles down at Sharks Leagues today. Andrew Fifita was there, 9 o'clock session with his kids. So, what does that tell you?
How was the lineup in the Wiggles? Was it?
I didn't go. I'm getting this second hand, but it pumps down there. There's hundreds of thousands of kids down there for the Wiggles.
If I didn't have to work this NRL heavy week, I would have been there for sure with young T-Bone and Big Andrew.
Another big news, Sam, is something I'm very excited about. Britton the Hitman Nakora.
Is he the Hitman?
Seemingly coming. The Hitman, okay. Man. Seemingly coming from the clouds straight onto the starting 13.
I don't know. From the clouds is a bit dramatic there, Newman.
Didn't play a game of first grade last year.
No. Making his debut. But he's been groomed along with Jack Williams, I reckon, to be a big part of our future. And he's going to, I think, fit into your boy Luke Lewis's role.
Yeah, he's like a raw, for those who haven't seen him play, he's very much like a raw version of Luke Lewis. Not Luke Lewis, the skinny outside back, but Luke Lewis, the hard-running edge back rower who runs back on an angle. But he loves a big hit, Britton Nakora.
Yep.
Oh yeah, he's okay. Going to want to rattle some teeth and try and get some big hits in the highlight reel.
Now I think that he and Kurt Capewell are going to go a long way to winning this game for us. And when I say that, it sounds crazy, but they are going to have to be highly involved in the game for me. They're going to have to do the hit ups and create a little bit out the edges. And
it's the only sort of unknown around the team is the back row. You know, with Wade Graham not playing till around about week 13. Wow, that's a big hole in the squad. And obviously we lost Luke Lewis, so we've lost Wade Graham and Luke Lewis. There's a lot of quality out of the squad.
Yeah,
we need people to step up. Kurt Capewell, semi-maligned and probably rightly so. His form has been up and down. Some weeks he's great, other weeks he's just capable.
Yeah, he's never bad.
He's never bad, no. But he's just, he's, you know,
he's got it in him.
He's certainly not an Origin level player.
No, he's not.
And we love him. Tall, big body, got a bit of speed about him. Lovely guy.
I think he's been waiting to make this position his own. Now he's got the chance.
Now he does have the chance.
So, to be fair, he's been thrown all over the place.
Yeah.
Now he's got this spot, so.
He's 100% an edge back row. He's not a centre.
Yeah.
He's not a wing. He plays some games on the wing, you know, and then he come on off the bench wherever we needed to plug a hole. He's absolutely an edge back rower, so hopefully he can make that spot his. And that's a new back row combination, Britton Nakora and Kurt Capewell.
Now, this bench is phenomenal for me. It really is. Excited by Blake Brayley. There was some doubt over a injured thumb, but he's passed the fitness test. He will debut. So I'm excited to see him play top level.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully be a bit more creative when he comes on and let Jaden do the messy stuff. Not that Blake's not tough. He is tough, but he's a lot more creative. My boy Bakuya, Aaron Woods, and Jack the Beast Williams, who I'm also excited about, and you quite like him as well.
I do. He's Paul Gallen light for mine, which is not to denigrate him at all. And it sort of tells you a lot that the two players like Bakuya and Woods can't get a start. You know, they're on the bench, obviously, but they can't get a start in the top 13. That tells you the quality that we've got in the squad. I am a little bit perplexed that Bakuya. That's why I said sort of Britton Nakora came from the clouds. You know, if I was holding the clipboard, I probably would have started Bakuya, but obviously.
He's a good impact player, Bikuya. I could see him playing a whole game and being phenomenal, but he is good off the bench.
They've used the word phenomenal quite a bit.
Uh-oh.
I don't describe this bench as phenomenal. Blake Brayley is a massive unknown for me. I always thought that they were grooming Jaden Brayley to be a Cameron Smith type 80-minute player. You know, a scheming nine. He hasn't had a running game to this point. The word was they were going to try and build a running game into his game and build him into an 80-minute player.
Now, he can play 80 minutes, but he's not overly creative at the moment.
Are they saying now that Blake Brayley's going to come on and play like a Seguiaro role and jump out of dummy half and try and split defences?
He's not going to be like Seguiaro, but I think he's going to come on in more of an attacking role than what Jaden will play, yeah. Because his natural game is a lot more attacking.
I am a little perplexed by this.
What?
Well, I watched a lot of Blake last year for Newtown, and he is more attacking than Jaden Brayley. But in terms of a Damian Cook, James Seguiaro, Isaac Luke type dummy half...
Not explosive?
Not explosive. Okay. No. He's great at, like...
But maybe they don't want that.
Putting
maybe
a little kick from dummy half on the line.
Yeah.
You know, jumping out of dummy half and probing a lot more. Yeah.
Well, I think
you'll
see that.
He could prove me wrong.
Well, but maybe that's what John Morris wants.
Here we go, though. Brothers playing for the Sharks.
Don't ask. Don't,
you're the stats, don't, man.
You put me on the spot here. Yeah, the Sorensons.
Is that how far back we've got to go?
No, I don't know. They're a set of brothers that played for us.
Yeah.
The Lee brothers played. Daddy had a brother.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure right now people are emailing us and tweeting us, doubting our knowledge of our great club. But it's exciting. Local juniors, brothers.
Yes, the finest Colts.
Blake is highly sought after by other clubs. He's off contract at the end of the year. I think there's a little bit of politics going on there from our coach to keep him around.
He'll be staying around. His dad's just been promoted to SG Ball coach.
Is that right?
That's right.
Now, we know journalists listen to our show.
Yeah.
That's not a cap thing. Don't go saying it's a cap thing. It's just, it's not an incentive. It's a job. He applied for a job.
Well,
and
he was Matthew's Cup coach, and he has risen through the ranks.
Good luck to him.
So it's a natural promotion, but I can't see any of the Brayley boys going anywhere else, and I would like to see that maybe like the Burgi or the Trebojeviches, we have this brother dynasty at the club.
Local juniors. Now, you mentioned Seguiaro. He has now signed a $1 contract for the Newtown Jets, is that right?
I don't know. Is that official?
Yeah.
He wasn't at the Newtown launch last night. There was no talk of him.
I believe he signed...
Admittedly, though, at the Newtown launch, they don't really talk about anything that sort of happened post-1981.
81, 82, yeah.
Yeah.
He signed, and I think the hope for him is that he'll get a spot with us before June 30 when they move someone else on, which I believe they have to do. It's all getting quite messy.
So Big Arva's not going?
No, I believe he's not.
Right.
Which is his prerogative.
Okay.
They have cut
he's not
James
named
Seguiaro
in the 21, so it's not looking like he's going to get any first grade time.
Well, last I heard a few hours ago, he was not going anywhere. Things always change in this game, especially in our club. I believe Seggy's been cut. They were already 100 plus under the cap, and there's something else happening with someone's contract. So I'm sure at this point they know what they're doing. We pray and hope that they do. Seguiaro, the hope is he comes back, so we'll have a third hooker there. Billy McGoolis played a little bit of that in the first trial that I saw. Went okay. He's not a hooker, but he went okay.
Yeah, I don't know why they persist with him at hooker. He hates playing there.
Well, I think it's a depth thing now. If two guys go down, well...
Yeah, anyway. I want to talk about your mate Paul Kent, Paul Gallen, sparring with Cameron Smith. There's heaps to talk about.
All right, we'll take a break.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes. Local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
To Russell, and Russell has been able to go through. He's put the kick through. How fast is the little fellow? He's leading the race. He'll score, I think. Yes, that's a try. That's a try for certain. Yes, he's given the try, and so it. And it was a clever piece of football by Russell. It was a perfect example of backs at the scrum. If you had watched them closely, they could have went out and shook hands.
As we continue to roll on Sharkcast Radio, don't forget that you can email us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or you can find us Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I wanted to talk about a few more things that are in the more mainstream media, Sam. Mm. First one I want to talk about is the salary cap.
Uh-oh.
There have been plenty of calls, mainly from your mate Paul Kent, that say we got off lightly and the 2016 Premiership should have been stripped, which rolls on into Paul Gallen making the comments that if they stripped the Premiership off us, he would acquit the game.
But why did he say that? He said that because... Cameron Smith.
Well,
in between.
Cameron Smith then came along and said that.
He said afterwards, okay.
He said afterwards. He said that, well, the Sharks got off lightly, so what he liked.
No. You know what the big misdemeanor here is?
What?
Cameron Smith never once mentioned the Sharks, and everyone fell for it. He was talking about his own titles. He never once mentioned Cronulla being stripped of the title.
Can you check that?
I swear to God, he never did that. Everyone fell for it. Cameron Smith said it before Paul Gallen. Your timeline's wrong. He was only talking about his own title. He said salary cap and things going on recently.
Yeah, well, you know, the inference is... Anyway,
everyone fell for it.
Paul Kent says that Cronulla systematically cheated the cap and should have their title taken away from them.
Yeah, which we've discussed last week.
Well, I want to add this point, right? There's no room for speculation by someone like Paul Kent in this issue. The club, Barry Russell, Honest Barry, he provided the NRL with all the documentation, all the servers, all of the emails, handed over the keys to the castle and says to the NRL, ordered us. They have seen everything. They've seen the money coming, the money going. They've seen all the emails, all the correspondence. They've been through everything and found that it was okay. So where does Paul Kent...
More or less okay.
Well, no, not okay. They have said that the 2016 Premiership passes muster.
Yeah.
Right?
Just.
Paul Kent turns around and says, no, it doesn't. Paul Kent hasn't seen any of this.
What Paul Kent has failed to do is he's failed to back up his argument with proper numbers.
Which, because he hasn't seen it.
Oh, he's seen a lot of stuff. I can't speak.
He hasn't seen everything the NRL's seen. The NRL has seen reams and reams of documents, servers.
What people, including him, have a problem with is the fact that we tried to cheat.
Exactly. And I have no issue with that, right? I have no issue
with that. We failed in our cheating.
I have no issue with the fact that that rubs people up the wrong way. As a supporter, I'm embarrassed by it. But if the NRL have seen every piece of financial information and come back and said the 2016 title is safe, who is he to speculate that it isn't? Without providing evidence, to
he's
the
not speculating it's not safe. He's saying it's his opinion. He's not speculating it's not safe. It's safe.
I know, but his opinion is that without seeing those documents,
we got off lucky. Yeah.
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 He hasn't seen,
and a lot of people agree with that.
He realizes. I mean, he makes a fairly cogent point about the fact that it was systematic. But in terms of comparatively systematic, and this is where Cameron Smith's point comes into it, what the Storm did and what the Sharks did was the Sharks did a bungled bank robbery. You know, three guys run out of money to go buy long necks at the pub, so try and rob the bank next door with stockings on their head and get caught. Whereas what the Storm did was like Enron.
Yeah, and the journalists you're talking about and other people have come out and said Cameron Smith is living in fairyland for wanting the NRL to look into
those
figures. So,
and Paul Gallen's words were, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because if they go through it with a fine-tooth comb, it's going to be worse, not better.
Yeah.
Gal said that if they took the premiership off him, he would have quit the game. Fair, not fair.
Understand where he's coming from. I mean, how would you feel as a fan? You give it in. I'd give it in.
Well, it would be very hard to continue on.
I just, with everything we've been through, Newman, there's no way, I'm telling you, there's no way I could get through it. And, you know, everyone can be tough and go, oh, well, we love our club and we get through anything. You know what? I don't think I can get through that.
I'd be kind of like, what's the point?
What's the point?
Yeah.
My boy Cooper Cronk, I know you're not a huge fan, he was asked the same thing and he said, you know what? I've got the DVDs, I've got the tattoo, I've got the memories. Let's move on. It doesn't change his experience of it.
Our grand final...
He's won 5 grand finals, though.
Exactly. Our grand final is completely different to theirs because ours was like this redemption story. You know, it was one grand final that came from so long. It was completely different.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been messed with and people will point at particular journalists and everything, but you know who's tainted it? If I'm going to use that word... If someone was to agree it's tainted, I'm not saying it's tainted necessarily. The mighty Cronulla Sharks have tainted it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Or yeah. Some individuals at least.
Yeah.
And that sucks. It really sucks. And it's got us all down. And that night cannot be changed. It was beautiful. I think as time goes on, it'll be a genuine grand final premiership. At the moment, in some people's eyes, it's not. Things are going to blow over. Someone will release a new video tonight, like Corey Norman or whatever, and we'll move on.
But I, the way Facebook operates, right? Sometimes the photos from that, and we were flying high. You and I were flying high in 2016.
Literally.
You know, we were, Sharkcast TV was doing its thing. We're involved in the team. We're involved in the squad. And this photo comes up of us, you, me, and the trophy, and Lyle Gorman, right? And everything has completely changed.
Some could say that photo held people in it that were maybe responsible for what's changed.
Well, some people could say that.
I could say that.
And you're just like, it's only 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the world has turned for us so much.
Yeah, it's a very Cronulla thing. And we need to get away from it big time. I thought we got away with that win. I'm hoping... A new board, a new coach, a new superstar, Shorty Johnson.
Start me on the new board.
I don't want to, believe me. I really don't want to.
Do you really hold hope for the new board?
I need to study that list of people, but I need to do a bit of research. But no, not necessarily. But you know what? I got zero hope in the current board, so.
It's dire. And I don't want to...
It's week one and we're like crying.
The boring stuff, but the financials of the club...
It's not boring. It's not boring.
The financials of the club are terrible reading.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible reading. I mean, it's great that we've got Ace Gutters as a major sponsor.
Which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
I'm led to believe that there's another sponsor that's going to be announced before the Titans game.
Yes.
And that's wonderful, positive, fantastic news. But the way that the club is structured in terms of continuing to borrow, the football club is running a $3 million loss per year. And to make that $3 million up, you have to borrow money. The bank won't lend us money, so we go to private financiers and borrow these money in these deals that nobody knows anything about.
Can you just
and
stop?
They draw down against the development.
Stop.
It's a house of cards.
You can go on to, the Leagues Club and read Leagues Club website and read about that stuff, I think. It's on there.
I mean, only the true masochists read that stuff, but it is dire reading.
It's like Stephen King book or something.
And people who know more about this than I do are very, very negative about the club's ability to continue as a going concern moving forward.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's not being sensationalist.
It's not. The great thing is the NRL grant props them up every single year, and as long as we
But hang on, we got the NRL grant last year and lost $3 million.
Yeah, I realise that. They're looking at. They've obviously streamlined a lot of areas going into the new season. Probably keep doing it. I was going to say, as long as we don't muck up something off the field, i.e. cap, players, whatever, we'll keep getting the grant every year.
How much confidence do you have in that? There's no CEO.
Percentage-wise, I don't know.
No leagues club.
I've heard a few names going around about the CEOs, which I'm not going to mention just because it's like speculation and stuff, but...
Have you heard a short list of two.
Who you got?
You'll name some names?
No.
No, I don't, but I know that Stuart Clark...
Oh, really?
Who was the...
Former Caringbah High legend.
And has been sort of whispered about is a definite no.
Yeah, okay. I believe a new person will be required next month, April.
Yeah, so Barry finishes up in April. I had a chat to Barry last night at the Newtown launch. We didn't talk about anything other than the weather.
It is a cool change now.
Yeah.
What's happening with the board? Now, people can go online and see when you can vote. You cannot vote unless you turn up and do
in
it.
Person.
You can't do it via mail or email or anything.
No, no proxies.
It's quite hard, the way they've got it all set up.
Yeah, the way the board has been constructed is that the incumbents have every opportunity to continue on. I don't even know how many... I think there's about four spots that are vacant. Is it four or three? There's vacant spots anyway. We were hopeful that Dino Mezzatesta would be on the show tonight, but he sends his apologies. He's very keen to talk to us, apparently. We're happy to give him, and we won't shirk the hard questions, and he knows that.
I'm looking forward to interviewing Sean Johnson. I'm not saying we are going to, but I'm just looking forward to that.
That would be more interesting.
No, it's not a thing against Dino. I'm so down about all this stuff, man.
There's a ticket run by Mark McGaugh.
Yep.
Mark McGaugh has run several times before and failed. I'm unsure of his business credentials.
Yeah.
I don't.
You can read about it online.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else who's running. What continually surprises me is that there is a,
maybe next week, Newman, you can study up, and I'll have a timer out. I'll give you probably three and a half minutes
to try and run.
But you can talk about the nominees because people do want to hear you talk about it. They don't want to hear me talk about it.
What continually surprises me is there is like no lack of people who are willing to put their hand up to be a director of the Cronulla Sharks.
Yeah.
A, you don't get paid.
No.
It's a lot of work for no pay. B, you become a financial director. You have a financial stake in the club that is built on a house of cards and could fall over at any minute, and then therefore the administrators can come after you. I am surprised so many people want to do it. Well, that should provide me with some kind of heart.
Dudes on podcasts talking about you.
Yeah.
People on the hill yelling at you.
Yeah. Wow.
Probably get a nice seat,
though. Actually think that they should bring back honorariums. In that people should be paid. It's the whole argument about
where's the money coming from?
Politicians, right? People say politicians shouldn't get paid much, but if you only pay a politician like $100,000, who are you attracting to the role?
I don't want to pay. There's no money to pay him.
No, you're right. I just feel that there was some money in it, you might attract some better candidates.
I just think that it can't be that hard a role, and for whatever reason, a lot of these people, not all of them, a lot of them go down the dodgy street rather than the well-lit street, you know?
Let me put this to you, Sam. You know me. You've known me for longer than 5 years.
Glorious years, I call them.
Mm. Many people pressure me to run.
Many.
Do you think I should run?
We'd have good jerseys. We'd have one jersey.
In all seriousness.
Do I think you should run? You put me on the spot like before. Oh, I'd give you a vote, yeah.
You'd vote? Okay.
Yeah, that's a yes.
It's too late now. Maybe next year.
I think a lot of people I know should go for it and have qualifications to do it. And you know what? Why can't we have a lady on the board? Like, I know it's like a novelty to say that, but why the hell not?
Agreed. Agreed.
People of all walks of life is what I'm saying.
A good cross-section of the community.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It just seems to be the D-Lar Brigade.
There's a lot. Actually, there's a lot. There's a few of them already in that list of nominees you're going to study for next week. There is some D-Lar boys in there.
Yeah. All right. Let's leave that there. And
you got any other news?
Break? Any other news?
Looks like it's going to rain soon.
It's raining right now. Down here at the Yacht Club. Here's some news.
I'm so bummed out, yeah.
We will do another Sharkcast party on the Warriors away
game. Yes, Friday night, 6 o'clock. Look at it in your calendar. You'll see it. Lock it in now. Lock it in. It's happening.
No, it's already been... I've already spoken to Liam at the Yacht Club. We've got the space.
People who went to the last one, it was a fantastic night. Phenomenal space. That word phenomenal again. And yes, lock it in. Warriors game. We're going to make it happen. Josh will be there telling us about...
Doco.
What's Josh's favorite band? Korn?
No. Muse. Balance and Muse.
He's going to text me right now and say, Shanaz, it's Muse.
Hopeless.
No, Josh.
Wake up to yourself.
He's allowed to like Muse.
He's allowed to like him, but he's also allowed to wake up to himself.
Oh, look, we can't all be listening to Dead Kennedys, Newman, all right? I saw you today posting about propaganda. They stayed in my friend's house about 20 years ago in Newtown.
Did you see what I posted, though?
Yeah, I did.
That's funny, right?
Yeah. It's a very topical Spotify. We're on Spotify.
So the thing I posted is one of my favourite bands. They're a very popular band, and on Spotify, you write your own description. You know, this band does this and sounds like this. Their Spotify description is, give me a break. all right, so we'll cut to a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have the letters. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone. I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we go out the front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Eddinghausen Way, Woolooware, and see what that little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot. You can get a sharkcastpod at gmail.com or Twitter, Facebook, Instagram with the hashtag SharkcastPod. Samuel is armed with a shark tooth-shaped letter opener and a stack of mail in his hand from over the off-season. And what's the first one? You're going to rip the cover off now, my friend.
Some real beauties, but one of our favourites gets the first go. Michael Langridge. We call him RCB. He's from Canberra. He says, the board election is coming up. A lot of D-Larcel connections there. Mark McGaw, he's not inspired, says RCB. On to more positive news. He says, Britt Nicora getting the starting gig with Williams on the bench and double Brayleys. It's a new era. We're going to win the game against Newcastle 22-8. What do you think about that, Newman?
I think the only thing that can get us against Newcastle is complacency. Apparently the word from inside the camp is the boys think they're pretty damn special. And Newcastle probably couldn't play any worse.
No.
They're only going to go one better. Evidently there's going to be a big crowd in.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it'll be a lot different to the trial. I still think we've got the wood on them. I still don't think they're very good, and I would like to see them. I'd obviously like to see us win, but I don't think it'll be that easy.
And you're going to study up on the board next week. You get 3.5 minutes to talk about that, or at least about the nominees.
I can't wait to talk RCB, more about the board election. So hopefully, we'll have had a chat with Dino as a tester between now and then.
Maybe.
Well, I'm not going to make any more promises about interviews, though.
We promise not to promise. Now, next, you got one from Mark.
We've got Mark. And we've got one from Mark. And Mark says, I'm sorry to see Barry Russell go. And he puts in parentheses, I am in that camp. I'm also interested in whether Tim McAleer is still at the club. I'm hearing he isn't, although he still appears in the org structure on the Sharks website. I'm also interested in your views on how much responsibility the board of directors should accept for the salary cap breaches. If they didn't know, then they should have. Why do they get to sneak off quietly when stuff like this occurs? A couple of great questions there, Sam. I hope you don't mind if I rip into those. The first thing is Tim McAleer is not at the club. The official word is that Tim was walked for behavioural issues.
Is that the official word or the Newman word?
No, that's the Newman word, and that's about as much as I can say on that. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but what I can say is he was walked for behavioural issues from tradies. So, very interesting that history has repeated itself, and again, it was a decision made by Dino Mazzatesta to employ him.
Let us never speak of that name again. The club looks pretty good with that blue paint.
Yeah, I mean, he did a good job. What I can't work out, Sam, and maybe you can understand it, the club's not supposed to be there.
It's going at some point.
The car park's not supposed to be there. There's supposed to be a big, new, shiny shopping centre there, and they spent $200,000 on a refit. It looks great.
It does.
And I must say that for the two, I've got a mate who works very heavily in Clubland and knows how much these things cost. And apparently, he stretched that money a long way.
Yeah, it looks
good. On the refit, and it looks good.
Good luck in your next
year.
But
why don't we have a shopping centre there?
Oh, I think that's more political news. That's maybe for the political side of Sharkcast. You might get 2 minutes of that next week.
Okay, so he's interested in our views on how much responsibility the board of directors should accept for the salary cap breaches.
Well, should is 100%. In reality, it's very little.
Well, let's just say that when word came out that the salary cap hammer was about to fall, so to speak, two directors immediately resigned their posts. So read into that what you will. The directors have ultimate responsibility for the club. They are the bosses. The CEO only enacts the board's wishes. So to me, they are the ones that are ultimately responsible. And Sam, I think that you feel the same way.
Were they two guys pretty tight with the former coach?
Absolutely, 100% correct.
Now we have a letter from Sean, and he wants to know how the Brayleys are. Is Jaden fully fit, and is Blake's hand going to be okay? I'm led to believe Newman, they're both going to be fighting fit and ready to go for round one. He wants to know how many minutes will Blake play. Now, we're not coaches, we're not sure. We always hope that he'll play, you know, half an hour, 15 before, 15 after the break. Now, he's got more questions. He wants to know what side Johnson favours. Last year with David Fusatua, he gave him plenty of tries. That was on the right-hand side. Therefore, our centre wing pair on the right-hand side is Dugan and Katoa. Sean Johnson can play either side, as we saw in the trials.
But he does favour that right side, doesn't he?
Yeah, but when you have that guy like Fusatua finishing those tries, maybe, was he the highest try scorer last year? I think he was. You would favour that anyway.
100%. But also, what's great is Matty Moylan prefers the left side, so we've got threats both side of the ruck, which is, I'm really excited. I think we're going to score a lot of tries in good ball. I think overall this year we're going to concede more tries but score way more tries.
Interesting, that first point about conceding more tries. Yeah, I think the defence should be fine.
No way, Graham, though. Luke Lewis, you really think so?
Yeah, I do. I've seen them both fall off tackles. Next, we have a very, very awesome letter. Oh, I said the word awesome. Sorry, Newman.
Awesome's fine. It's amazing. I don't like
it. Oh, amazing. Okay.
It's amazing.
It's from our Twitter friend Adsos, and I'm just going to read this out as is because it's quite important. And he said, "Hey Sharkcast, great to have you back, yada yada yada. The main reason for writing is because of our new sponsors, Ace Gutters. I happen to work at Ace as the sales manager for roofing, and you know, we don't need to go into that. And he's over the moon that, number one, his beloved Sharks love a major sponsor for two, hopefully 4 years, but also it's his place of employment on the front of the jerseys. He wanted to let us know that because there was a lot of speculation about who are these guys, it's not Pepsi, it's not LG, he wanted to let us know what they do and how good they are."
Well, can we point out that, you know, from the days of having a multinational sponsor like Pepsi, who are consumer-facing, or LG, isn't it great to have a shop in Mortdale as our sponsor?
They've been there since 1953.
My uncle used to work at Ace Gutters. Right?
Did he?
And every Saturday we used to swing by the shop there. Is it Peakhurst, Mortdale area?
Mortdale.
And swing in and see. So I've been at Ace Gutters heaps of times.
You know what you're doing? You're cutting in on Adzo's letter.
Okay, sorry, go on.
They've been around since 1953, including your uncle working there, is that what you said?
That's right, Uncle Mick.
Uncle Mick. They employ over 200 staff. Annual turnover of $100 million over three branches. And they also he also wanted to let us know about Duracotta. Is that the right?
Duracoat.
Sorry. What's Duracotta? Some sort of cheese. Duracoat is Ace Gutter's very own brand of pre-painted steel, high quality, locally manufactured. And he just wanted to let us know about this. He said, I know that you guys already had
it's
your sponsors.
It's an alternative to Colorbond.
Yeah.
Local.
Yeah, but basically the emphasis is he knows we have sponsors for our show, but he's so proud of that his workplace is sponsoring
well,
the show.
Well, Don Anderson, let us know. Adzos, get Don Anderson to listen. This is a massive free plug, and we'll be more than happy to come up into the chairman's lounge and have a few beers with him.
Or, alternatively, the great Ace Gutters could also sponsor Sharkcast.
Now, wouldn't that be a piece of synergy?
Yeah.
So what's he paying? $1 million a year? We'll take 10% of that.
Well, we know what our going rate is. We can talk to you about that. Anyway, in all seriousness, thank you, Adzos, for that informative...
But it is very positive news that someone's willing to throw big money behind the club, and the business is bigger than people think. I know I was joking about... Pepsi versus, of course, Pepsi are bigger.
I hope I haven't revealed too much about your identity there either, because you wanted to remain somewhat anonymous, but that's okay. We only have a listenership of a few thousand, so don't worry.
Have we got any more letters, Sam? Dana got anything to say?
She says hi.
Hi, Dana.
So, we've got a big game coming up, Newman.
Yes, here we
Friday
go.
Friday night, 6 o'clock. Playing the Knights.
Worst
we played a couple
time.
Weeks ago. Yeah.
Worst yeah. time for a game. 6 o'clock.
You want the players to get paid, Newman.
I do.
They've got to be on TV.
So, well, it's very inconvenient for me, and that's the most important thing, right?
Here is what is important. We need to win. You know what we need to win? For all the round games in the past nine, since 2010, we've won one round one game against the Titans in 2013.
Oh,
going
was,
so
that
far
was
back,
bring,
Newman.
That was one of the bring-back flannel rounds.
It was. Going so far back, only Andy Fifita, Paul Gallen, and Wade Graham were in the team... And John Morris was on the bench. Our coach. So we've won the past eight against Newcastle by big scores for most of them. We've obviously won a bunch up there as well. And we were thoroughly...
Well, has it been that long since they beat us?
Yeah. We were thoroughly better than them the other week in the trial. It's only a trial. They will be improved. They've got guys like David Clemmer. They've got guys like Edric
Ponga.
Lee. Jesse Ramian.
The Stink. Ramian will be up for a big game.
It'll be tight, I think, as you said.
Yeah, I think anyone who thinks we're going to waltz it in is in for a big surprise. Only because I think that we were so good, I don't think there's that much improvement in it for round one. And there's a lot of improvement in the Knights. I wouldn't be surprised if it was real close.
We probably don't want to get... into the emotion of the game too much, like that whole Newcastle hometown thing. They won their game against, I think, Manly in round one last year, extra time, Mitchell Pearce on debut for the club, winning field goal. We don't want to let it get that close.
No.
Otherwise, they get the advantage there.
No, of course not. And they reckon there's going to be 25,000 people there, so that's...
Including some Sharks fans.
Yeah. Well, are you going up?
There's actually a slim chance I might, but we'll talk about that another
Whoa.
Time. Yeah, what about that? Shanaz in Newcastle. It's been a while. The last time Sean Johnson and Chad Townsend played...
Together.
When they played together. They played 34 matches for the Warriors over 2 years. They won 18 of the 34, but more importantly, both of them had really good form on the field. Chad was quite creative.
Sean, Chad was running.
Yeah, Sean was really great too. So... there's no reason why that won't happen again this year. Whether it clicks in round one, we're not sure. It looked good in the trial match. It was only a trial match. I love this one, Newman. I love this one. Where is it? Since Sean Johnson debuted in 2011, he's had 100 more try assists for the Warriors than the next person in that period. And that's like a, what, 7 or 8 year period.
I'm going to put out a tip here, Sam. I'm going Sean Johnson anytime try scorer.
He likes to run.
Yeah.
He likes to run, that's for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing how Chad evolves around him again. He had, from my opinion, he had a pretty strong season last year, given everything he had on his plate. His trial form's been good. I love the way he carries himself off the field, which is obviously a different story. But I think he's going to really enjoy having a guy like him around, as well as Moylan playing at the back of him as well. So looking forward to see how Chad goes. John Morris, fascinating story. I'm starting to believe.
Bomber.
I really am.
Bomber.
He's done everything right. He's a pretty smart guy. He's done degrees and
got masters in coaching.
When you talk to him,
sorry, Dave Howlett's in there too in his ear.
Yeah, Dave's a smart guy too. But when you talk to John, I just love how personal he is. There's no BS about him.
No.
And I don't think that's going to carry over. I don't think any of that will change. I think he's going to coach that way. From what we've heard, he deals with the players that way. So far, controlling the egos.
Yep.
It's going to be a fascinating year, Newman, and it starts very shortly.
All right, Sam, what are your predictions for the... somewhere between 62-0 in our favour, or what was that time they beat us about 58?
Oh, was that like the Matty Johns era? Was that? Yeah, it was Andrew Johns versus Matty Johns up in Newcastle.
I think it was about 58-6. Horrible. So it was about 120 point spread. Where are we in the middle of that?
We're in the middle. Yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win. And I think it will be probably, I'm hoping like 26-16. I don't think it'll be a big difference in the margin between us, but I think that we will score some points. I rate our defence. Our defence looked good in both the trial matches as well. I still think that John Morris will have that Flanagan approach of defence does win games, which obviously it does, but he knows that he's got some real guns there in Moylan and particularly Sean Johnson. Expect the kicking game to be good. Brett Camorley is on board, part-time coach. The best kick chaser in the world. I wasn't a huge Camorley man, but
he could kick chase.
Oh my God.
There's one thing he could do, he could kick chase.
So let's watch some kick chase. And the only negative thing I saw in the trials was the penalties. If you can control that, I really think we do win the game.
I'm predicting we're going to win. I think the era of the 18-14 win may be behind us.
I hope so. The close games.
Look, and I think we'll win. We'll score 20. It'll probably be 22-16.
Mm.
So one try in it.
Mm.
Closer than we think. And I actually think we might go down in the first half. And as I said before, Sean Johnson, anytime try scorer.
All right. Are you going to be doing gambling tips every week? Is that your thing?
No. No, I just feel like he's going to score a try. I just think that's going to be like... Remember Doug scored a try in his first game last year?
No.
He did. He did the...
I believe you. I'm saying I don't remember.
He did the Fortnite thing.
Fortnite, yeah.
Yeah, so I just think that...
For all of our older listeners, Fortnite is a game. Are you going to gamble on who's going to win the board? The board spots?
No, because I don't even... Other than McGaugh,
I could take bets for that. I could be like a bookie for that, maybe.
Yeah, well...
I'm sure there'll be the huge board. Interest in it.
I'm chairman RCB's of the board.
Already
when I say
with me.
Board, I mean B-O-R-E-D.
Well, look, that's my line. It does bore me to tears, but it has to be sorted out. It is incredibly important. Are we going to go down to the AGM? What do you reckon? I think we might. I might drag you down.
I went to an AGM one year when Keo was in charge, and like it was this farcical scenes. There needs to be a certain number of. No, he wasn't. He's very low.
Okay.
Because there needs to be a certain number of people in the room before they can start proceedings.
I know where you're going with this.
And there wasn't enough people, so we just sort of sat there drumming our fingers and looking around, waiting for like there to be the 30 people that you need to run an AGM.
And then the Sydney Kings from 1988 all rolled in.
3-0
in their shorts and singlets. All right, Newman, it's been my joy to be here. Thank you to everyone for listening to us. Listen to us on all the podcast platforms that you can get your hands on. Subscribe, rate us, review us, write to us, follow us on all the socials.
Support our sponsors.
Yes.
Don't forget you can get a free garlic bread at the Royal Motor Yacht Club.
You know who loves that? Who loves that on Facebook? Who is it?
Dave Howlett?
Yep. Is it our friend Jason as well?
Yes, he loves it. Anyone loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone is.
It's good garlic bread.
It is. It's delicious. And as we say every week,
round one, baby.
Love the Sharks. Let's go.
Change it. Let's win. Come on. Come on.